Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Paco, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa.
Cabbage has been abducted. While in conflict with the Eldritch Abomination that is believed to be a form of Semele's Malamar, Cabbage was pulled into the amorphous carapace that constitutes the corruption of Malice's horrifying body. Shortly thereafter, Schmidt entered the same threshold voluntarily, where his vision has become obscured and he is bombarded with terrifying sensations while suspended in the void. Gimli brutalizes Semele in a firm grapple just outside of the Rite of Learning, while Dr. Claude Magnolia has scurried off, nowhere to be seen. Cindy can be found on bombardier duty, where she is causing mayhem and destruction to Neo Rocket Galactic's equipment and personnel. Some brave, iconic Hoenn trainers have come to assist the Paco, namely Archie, Maxie, and Steven Stone. Thanks to their help, the corruption of Malice is apparently fleeing, hovering ominously eastward towards the Mos Deep Space Center while oozing and dripping black ichor. It is about midnight in Mos Deep City, while a horde of several dozen recently summoned NRG grunts and their Pokemon, composing a 30-foot-long phalanx, are rushing down a hill from the east towards the Paco. We are keeping our initiative order of Cindy, Gimli, Schmidt, Elodie, allies, and bad guys. Before we start with Cindy, Steven's Metagross, Trevor the Gigalith, Mr. Salt the Carbink, Walter the Dunsparce, Pride the Dragonite, and potentially Elodie may make a reaction melee attack of opportunity against the monstrosity as it looms towards the Space Center.
Slap the shit out of him.
With Pride, right? Because if Walter's under Elodie's control, then the only one that you would roll
No,
for.
I was saying Elodie the human. Slap the shit out of him.
Yeah, it's up to Elodie if she wants to do that.
That's crazy.
You walked into Iron Head, right?
You are choice banded into Iron Head. That is correct.
Yes. Okay.
I'll do a courtesy GM reminder just for everyone. This is a great opportunity to get some damage on a boss monster that is low health. However, even though it's been weeks for us, in the minutes that this fight has been taking place, all of you have noticed that when dealing melee damage to this creature, there is like a caustic splash of ooze that can potentially damage you if you don't make a save. So this is not a riskless reaction. It also consumes your reaction for your turn. But all of that to say.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yes.
This is just for a move, right?
It's a melee attack you can get for free.
Okay, so it's not like a move.
What do you mean?
Like I'm using one of my moves?
You can't.
Yeah, you can't use like
If it's melee, or you can just flavor it that way. Yes.
Okay.
Or you can do an unarmed attack. Yeah, Iron Head's great. Iron Head will
turn. I'm just saying Iron Head, and I rolled a 19 on the die, so that's a flinch as well.
Okay, great.
However you want to do that. Yeah.
Sure. Roll your damage for that. That will hit. That will break the armor class. I'll roll for Steven, because Metagross is in range. Metagross gets a natural 2, will not be connecting.
For 19 points of damage. Iron Valiant got a 19 to hit.
Very good. Which attack?
Spirit Blade. Fairy. In Calm Mind. Yeah. In Misty Terrain.
Yeah, very good. Yeah,
so go. This will go a little crazy.
Go ahead and roll that damage, please. What did you say for Iron Head?
19 points of damage.
Thank you.
And a flinch.
Perfect.
Couldn't see me, but I finger gunned.
Finger guns from the void.
From the void, you just knew. Very good. So we still have Trevor and Mr. Salt and Walter and Grace Elodie, excuse me. Elodie.
I jump into the game and punch this Malamar.
Hell yeah.
Are you wanting to roll for Walter or should I?
Yeah, I was just going to finish rolling my damage first, but if you want to roll for him, you're welcome to.
To be fair, Grace has the most to roll for, so you may as well.
Yeah.
And Gimli, does Trevor want to take a swing as the monster?
Yeah, it would just be generic melee because I don't have any melee attacks.
Okay.
They're just unarmed. I mean, Gigalith has no arms anyways.
Yeah, no, just a strike, just a smack. Roll to hit with your, whatever your roll to hit is from. Do you have any melee attacks?
No.
Do you have any moves that are not saves?
No.
Damn, okay, let me calculate what Trevor's would be real quick. Well, it's just proficiency plus your mod plus... one from your level. I think it's just plus 10. Just do plus 10.
What, to hit?
Yeah. Yeah, plus 10 to hit.
So that's 26. Was...
Yeah, 26 will hit. Roll like, I don't know, what's your rock slide damage?
2d12 plus 12.
Yeah, that's fine. Roll that. That's great.
That will be 76 total damage. Ooh. From Keylime.
Ooh.
Keylime is fully powered up. That's pretty sick.
Is that
powered up, counting
super effective?
It is, yeah, it's super effective.
Okay.
It's yes. 19 okay. damage.
Excellent.
Not as cool.
Yeah. Still pretty cool, though. I mean, that's the same as Pride the Dragonite, right? So pretty cool.
Mm.
And then that leaves Mr. Salt. I guess he'd just kind of do a headbutt if you want him to do that.
He does have Stone Edge.
Oh, yeah. You could flavor that.
Does
that
count?
Sure, why not?
It is a dex save of 14.
Oh, it's not like a roll to hit?
Yeah.
What's...
Do you want me to make a roll to hit?
Yeah, we're going to change it. It just, yeah, okay. It'll be different. We'll use that formula and we'll just fuck with it a little. What is Carbink's highest proficiency modifier?
His con is plus 4.
And what's his level?
11.
Yeah, do plus 9 to hit, please.
15?
15 does not hit, unfortunately.
That's not what he does, so.
Okay.
That's okay.
It's fine. And then that just leaves if Elodie wants to give it a smack.
I heard there's potential repercussions, and I'm low on HP.
Okay.
So, you will I think I'm good.
Abstain. So, anyone
who... Walter, too.
Sorry?
What?
Walter.
Oh, yeah, Walter. Sorry.
Oh, Walter. Sorry.
Walter is raging also, correct?
Should
yes,
be.
Yes, he did, in fact, rage. Yeah.
So, it gets an additional die. It was dirty 21 to hit.
That I'm will hit. That hit. It okay. sure does.
It's Hyper Drill, by the way. Plus 11. 33 points of normal type damage.
Very good. Cool. Yeah, this creature is clearly like not in the same capacity it was before. It's still terrifying, but it seems to have diverted its attention away from combat, and it is simply just moving. As it floats away, a bunch of Mons take a strike at it, and as they do, some ooze splashes onto their bodies. Please, anyone who successfully made an attack... we'll need to make a DC 15 con save.
I crit.
For Trevor?
Yes.
Trevor takes no damage.
Both Walter and Pride failed.
Okay.
I somehow accidentally closed my keylime tab, but she failed.
Okay. Very good. Anyone who failed takes 22 points of damage. Anyone who succeeds, I'm going to flavor this that they take none.
I think the only success was the crit.
I think so. So 22, all those wands, give them 22 points of typeless, just bad vibes damage.
Not the bad vibes damage.
Bad vibes damage.
I love bad vibes.
Yes.
Yes, so this monster hovers just slightly above the ground, 5 or 10 feet. Not as much as when the combat started, thanks to the efforts of Trevor, and it is moving towards the space station. It is hovering over hordes and hordes of NRG summoned Pokemon that are intending to engage your lot in combat as soon as they arrive. A handful of just describing them just for fun, and then you can see if you can tell me who they are based on my descriptions. There is a group of just ordinary seeming like normal type Pokemon. One is a large rat with buck teeth. One seems to be like a groundhog of some sort. One is a lawn noodly ferret. There is a sinister bladed-looking fish Pokemon, and as it lurches towards you all, it shoots its scales and spines and fins off of its body to gain speed. There is a rotund bipedal pig that is bounding towards you quickly. There is, sadly, a Pokemon that you all know. It is Victreebel. There's a very agonized-looking Victreebel. All these Pokemon have, like, dark glowing eyes, and they just seem disturbed and not correct, and like perhaps they're under the influence of some sort of control. Additionally, you see a large skunk Pokemon that is actually running towards you backwards. It is doing so slowly, but it seems it is preparing an attack. And I'll describe one more for you just for fun. There's a large, like, heavy looking horse Pokemon that as it gallops, as it trots, it trembles the earth beneath its hooves. That's just a few of the, I'm going to say, 28 Pokemon that are rushing towards you in a 30-foot line. Now, it is Cindy's turn. Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
What will you do with your turn? You're flying around the space center. You just ignited some jet fuel and hurt a bunch of people. You've burned a rope that has been reinstated. I know at the end of the last session, you told me you had a plan. Do you remember that?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay, why don't you tell me about it?
So, I know that if I send out a Pokemon, I can only, like, move with one Pokemon that turn.
Correct.
And that's fine. So, am I close enough to the blimp that had the rocket fuel?
That's the one you're closest to.
Yes. So I would like to send out Trubbish into the blimp.
Okay. Very cool.
And have Trubbish use self-destruct.
That is a
And then recall it as a bonus action because it has fainted.
That is really, really sick. I'm going to have you make a series of ability checks, probably 3 or 4 of them. Are you ready for those?
Yes.
Okay. You are close enough for the 30-foot laser to release Trubbish into the blimp, but you are moving on a flying Salamence and there's people around. It's going to be tricky. I need just a DC 10 dex save for releasing the Trubbish accurately.
With my dex, that is a 16.
Perfect. You do successfully send out Trubbish. I need you to make a perception check, please. DC 12.
Do I also need to make Trubbish's queasy guy?
Yes, we'll get to that later. This is more in this split second where you are unleashing Trubbish.
Okay, what is it, a perception?
Perception.
Ah, shit. Okay, we get a +1. That's a 9.
9, that is not quite high enough. Give me just an insight related to that perception based on your failed perception.
Oh, goddamn. 3?
Okay, not good rolls at all. I'm not going to give you any information about this interaction. And then let me see. Yeah, I guess now is time to roll the self-destruct. Let it rip.
Should I roll Trubbish's queasy guy, see if he throws
up? Yes, thank you for reminding me that. Yeah, roll his queasy guy passive.
His con is +1. That is a 9. So he throws up.
Oh, gosh, he's so stinky. He's so, you know, he just gets so anxious and queasy being thrown into events out of his Pokeball because he doesn't really know what's going on. And he gets a little anxious and he vomits. Bleah, and it's gross. All of the people on board near the hatch, the bay where you threw in Trubbish, are going to need to make a con save because it's gross. They all kind of hold it back a little bit, but it is a disgusting notion to have that Trubbish there, that very stinky guy. Now, would you like to execute your self-destruct?
Yes. It is a 30-foot circle where all creatures in the area must make a DC 12 dex save.
Fantastic. Yeah. On this ship there, you can't fully see everything that's going on, but if you give me a moment, I will make some rolls for some people and a few Pokemon that are around there. Mm-hmm. And just roll damage in the meantime, because you will deal damage.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah. What's the damage total for a failed save?
21. Normal damage.
Okay, great. Yeah, this self-destructs collides with a total of 13 people or Pokemon or objects. And some of them have failed pretty poorly. There are definitely some people who, just from the combination of the stink as well as just the explosion, they will fall. They won't necessarily fall out of the bay. Well, I'm going to make a dex save for one of them who's close by. Yeah, they managed to stay on board. They will collapse. A few others will remain standing, but have taken a bunch of damage. And then you hear the sound of like objects exploding. Not quite as massive or incredible of a bomb as when you ignited the jet fuel, but there's definitely some damage happening. And also the structure of the blimp rocks significantly. And the pink shields that surround it when it receives damage start to like flicker and fade. Now you will need to make another dexterity check, DC 10, to recall Trubbish as your bonus action. Usually these aren't checks, but this is a difficult situation.
You said DC 10?
DC 10.
I got an 11.
Okay.
I had 10 on the die. I was real scared there for a second.
Yeah, just good enough. It was challenging, but Cindy, thankfully, on Fang's back, was able to execute this 1-2 punch of a combo and significantly damaged the people, the property, and the blimp itself for Neo Rocket Galactic. There's people descending the ladder as this happens, and the ladder gets disconnected, and some people will fall, not necessarily to their grisly deaths, but they will slow down their ability to conduct whatever kind of operation they are, in fact, conducting. I believe the only resource Cindy has left is movement. Are you going to fly anywhere?
To get a little closer to the blimp that has just reinstated the ladder that I burned.
Okay, so you're spinning around. Yeah, these are like kind of in a triangle formation. Like if the triangle was an arrow pointing east, you just exploded into the top corner. Now you're going to move down to the bottom corner to mess with that one. So Salamence will gladly fly over there. As do you just kind of like tap Fane on the neck, or like use your like thighs to squeeze which direction you want to go, or like what's your pilot method for piloting Fane?
I have no idea.
Is it just
all
words,
I do know
vibes?
Is that if people can see me, I'm sticking my tongue out at them. And they are being rocked by a 14-year-old in a swimsuit. Let me clarify. We are still in our swimwear.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone is, yeah. surely someone will see that, and they will think it's a little embarrassing. Absolutely. Anything else for Cindy you really want to try and squeeze in here?
Just for resetting the scene, like, setting the scene. Larvastar is still out and at the other, roughly in position for the other blimp.
Correct, yeah. In damage proximity, for sure.
Yeah, but okay. Not currently doing anything because of the everything of this turn.
Yes, did not receive commands while Cindy was focused on the bomb. Very good. Okay, yes. That brings us to Gimli. Gimli, you are, by the right of learning, you are the westmost member of the Quacko Paco. You're pretty close to the right of learning in the residential area. You have Assembly in a grapple, and you're smashing her face, and she is looking queasy. What is your action?
I have great news, gang. We're going to keep it going.
Okay. you may roll to hit with advantage for your headbutt into Assembly.
16.
That will in fact hit. I will ask you to roll damage. Do you remember what the formula was?
Oh god, no.
Crap. It was definitely more than a D4 unarmed attack. Was it a D12, I think?
I think we did do a D12 my proficiency or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Ooh. 17.
Great. So yeah, for either the fourth or the fifth time in a row, I'm not sure. in a span of half a minute, you smack your face into Semele's with a powerful headbutt with your bald head. This time, as you pull away, you can see that she's all gashed up. There's blood pooling in her mouth. Her eyes roll the back of her head, and she is knocked out with a grin on her face as if she was laughing. She's currently unconscious, and her grip on your grapple loosens.
Okay, so she's unconscious. I just drop her to the ground after, like, oh.
Yeah, you have blood on your face.
just wipe the blood across my face like I'm looking like Highlander.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Hell yeah. You have another action, if you would like to do that.
Okay. The monster is still escaping, yeah? Like, he's just trying to...
It is, and he's moved pretty significantly, and there's a barrier of monsters that are lunging towards you. It'll be near impossible to get a melee attack in. Unless you can somehow... I won't say it is impossible. It'll be very hard to get a melee attack. Shouldn't be too hard to get a ranged attack, but you are obstructed.
How many creatures are around me, then?
Like, I'm kind of pooling up like their statistics in a way. I have a variety of moves I can choose from, but I'm pooling their health. I'm going to say there's slightly at or less than 30. There's a lot of creatures, and they're in a vertical line. If you're looking at the map, like where the hills that lead to the space center are, they're just charging towards you in a straight vertical line. At the start of their next turn, they will collide with the Paco. They will be attacking.
A straight vertical line, huh?
Yeah.
If only I could create a some kind of obstruction in a straight vertical line.
Yeah.
Let's do some earthen ramparts.
Okay.
We're going to try to create a wall across what do you think would span it? For a straight vertical line,
I've described it as a 30-foot line.
A 30-foot line. Okay.
Yes,
that is fairly easy for me. Okay, cool. So if I'm just making a 30-foot line, the walls are automatically 5 foot thick.
That's their default size. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 5x5 height and length. So if you're gonna do 6 of those, then you can apply your, what's the name of that passive again? Earthen Ramparts.
Earthen Ramparts.
Yeah. Yeah, you can math that out. I'm happy to assist you, but I think you're more than capable.
Yeah, I think if I make a 10-foot high wall that's 30 foot, that's still enough obstruction to delay them.
Certainly. Yeah.
So with that'll cost me 40 HP, so I will set that up.
Okay. Trevor will expend some health, as you can see, like the gems and rocks, like the glowing minerals that adorn Trevor's body, like flash for a moment, and then they grow dull as he expends a significant amount of his power to create from the earth just walls of stone, 30 feet of it specifically, just kind of bisecting this part of the island. So all of these charging creatures cannot simply reach you on the next turn. They're going to have to figure something out. They'll have to either break the walls or climb over them if they are able. You said they're 10 feet tall?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Only certain Pokemon will do that, and it will either way impede their movement. So a great defensive strategy from Trevor. Mm-hmm. Anything else on Gimli's turn? Bonus actions or movement?
No, I think that's it.
Excellent. So if you guys are looking at the map, obviously the podcast listeners aren't, but this wall is being formed in my how it's described, I think. Where that leftmost tree doodle is, just from the top of where the island meets the sea, and then straight down for 6 tiles, if you are curious about that. That is the position of it, because all the monsters are over there in a vertical line, because that's the easiest way to do this kind of combat. Thank you, Gimli. Mm-hmm. Schmidt, you are suspended in an abyss. I will need you to make another intelligence save, please. I will continue with the thread that you want to roll high. Originally, I thought it'd be fun if the goal was to roll low, but because you did well last time, I need you to do that again.
You sure you don't want to change it to rolling low?
I've committed.
Okay.
What did you get?
What's the intelligence? +2. I got a, I forget Schmidt smart. It brings it to a 5 total.
Okay, yeah. Schmidt's smart. He went to college, but that doesn't prepare him for Eldritch horrors, unfortunately. His mental guard is loosened as he feels like kind of free floating and suspended in this void liquid, and it's almost soothing in a way until his brain is bombarded with just terrible thoughts, ideas, sounds, visions, just screams of like monsters and figures and just really disturbing images that he was not prepared to see. I will have him make a follow-up religion check with disadvantage.
That's an 8.
8. Not super good. Terrifying image of grotesque monsters and creatures flood his mind. And then after a moment, he drifts out of the body. He just kind of falls. He is temporarily physically impaired. He's, one, rendered prone, and any martial abilities until he succeeds on an intelligence save of 15. Are going to be at disadvantage. He falls on the ground, and he sees, if he turns to his right, he sees a horde of 30 or so monsters charging towards his previous location, and they're currently impeding with a massive stone wall that you can only assume that Trevor created. To his left, he can see Cindy flying in the air and recalling Trubbish as there's an explosion in one of the blimps, and he's just laying on the ground. What do you do with the rest of your turn?
Okay.
Clearly, sorry, I should have also described, clearly right above him and moving to his left is the Eldritch Abomination that he jumped into. And it is just kind of like dripping, oozing black liquid. And it's moving directly east towards the Space Center.
Not good. Did the Ironhead Flinch ever do anything?
This creature is not taking
it's
an action.
It's fine if not.
They are only moving.
Gotcha. That checks out. Okay. I guess just have Pride swing again, because that's all I can do.
Okay, yeah, let's get that iron head. So let's see, Pride is flying. I would posit that Pride would not provoke any opportunity attacks by flying high enough over the horde that is charging, so go ahead and roll to hit that iron head.
Whew. Natural 20.
Okay, that's a critical hit. Roll that damage, please. This thing is already looking pretty beat up. Can this net the KO?
45.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. 45 points of steel type damage as Pride, locked into this move due to the choice band, is dealing increased damage and smashes his head directly into the body of this monster. Does not net the KO, but it lets out a sound for the first time in quite a while. It goes just like a demonic kind of screech. And it stops floating for a second to kind of writhe its tentacles in pain, and then it continues lurching forward. Also, please have Pride make a DC 15 con save against the goop that gets splashed onto Pride.
18.
Okay. That is a successful save and will not take any damage from the goop. Mm-hmm. Schmidt, there's more to your turn that you can do. The saves that you took inside the void did not count against your economy, so you're laying on the ground.
I can make an intelligence safe to try to...
Oh, no, sorry. You can't do that till the end of your next turn. But what you can do, you can stand up, you can move, you can issue another command. Those are all things that you're welcome to do. You could stand up either as an action or as half your movement. That is your choice.
I think Schmidt will stand up.
Okay. It's good not to be prone, so that's a good decision.
I don't quite remember. Where was Quecko in all of this?
That's a great question.
I don't think Quecko would have jumped in the E-Corps with Schmidt.
Quecko was not engaged in combat. Like, you didn't have him do things, I don't think. And I also think that you're correct that he wouldn't have jumped in. So we can just, because he hasn't been given commands and the action economy has been too dense, we can just say that he was, when Schmidt jumped in, he jumped off of Schmidt and has been flying, waiting for Schmidt to come back. It's only been, what, 12 seconds. So Quacko, we will say, is in range and is ready to receive a command if wanted.
Okay. We have Quacko. Give him a good smack.
Sure. Roll to hit your attack of choice.
Oh, we could do the new sky attack.
You can give it a whirl.
That's a 12 to hit.
12 will unfortunately not hit. Was that sky attack that you rolled?
Okay. Yeah. Did we I make rolled that a 2 and it was plus 10.
Did we make that a one turn move?
Oh, no. So
you could still do it if you want. I'll let you roll again on your next
turn. As an action, identifying creature in range to begin charging.
Right.
Charging requires concentration. On your next turn, Quacko may dash anywhere that is within melee range of the chosen target. Up to 80 feet.
Yeah.
Ignoring attacks of opportunity and most environmental hazards.
And what's the distance of that dash?
80 feet.
Pretty significant. Just charging up to become a missile is pretty cool. So do you still want to commit to sky attack?
We'll just charge, yeah. We'll just charge this turn.
Cool. Very good. Anything else for Schmidt?
I think that's it.
Okay. That brings us to the next initiative. Elodie, thank you for your patience. What will you be doing?
Hello. Is Cabbage privy to making such rolls as to figure out where she is in space and time, or is she just gooped up?
She is quite gooped up. She is welcome to make a roll anyways. If it's not an attack against her, it will consume, I'm going to say, a bonus action to make one roll. So you can choose an ability check if you want to make it for Cabbage.
Okay.
Not as a full action, but a bonus action.
Understood. Yeah, I'll go ahead and have Cabbage try.
Okay.
So,
check of your choice. Could be whatever.
Check of my choice?
Yeah. What do you want Cabbage to do in here?
So I was thinking of using Irresistible Charm, which is her passive, which allows her to, as a free action, force one Pokemon to, well, first of all, use their movement to move towards Cabbage. I don't think that's applicable here, but gives like a suggestion per 5e rules.
Sure. I think a caveat of charm is that you have to be able to see the target. However, if you still want to lock that in and give it a whirl, I'll let you do it. It might just be like less effective, or it might like, you know, be a challenge. Fair. But I'm pretty sure line of sight is required for that. Pretty sure.
I will say in the description, and I can paste it, it just says forcing one Pokemon within 60 feet to make a DC 16 save.
Okay, that's probably on me. I don't want to punish you for my mistakes, though, so if you want to give it a whirl, you're welcome to try. I can't promise it'll do anything.
Yeah, understandable. It makes sense to me.
Also, it's flavored as a free action. Is there a limit to it?
Once per long rest.
Well, okay, cool. Yeah, so then that wouldn't be a bonus action, so you can just give that a whirl. They have to make a save, I'm guessing?
Yes, DC 16 wisdom save.
Okay. They got a natural 19, so they will not be succumbing to this.
All right. Understood. We gave it a whirl.
Yes. Now, would you like Cabbage to make any sort of ability check? You don't have to.
I mean, I'd like to give it a try to see if she can figure out a way to get out.
Sure. I'll let you choose the ability. Just for flavor description, all the same elements that I was describing to before are relatively applicable, rather than just kind of, Cabbage is not floating aimlessly because she is wrapped up in tentacles. Two different wispy tentacles are around her body and keeping her stable. And she is also experiencing the void and strange sounds and just eerie sensations.
Okay. So I get to choose. Can I make this a con save or whatever it is?
You can do whatever you want. Just I would like either an ability like or a skill specified and what you're trying to do as the goal to determine what the DC should be.
Okay. So trying to get out of the grasp.
I'm going to flavor that as either strength or dex.
Okay, that's fine. We will do dex.
Okay. I don't know if any dex skills would really... It's not acrobatics, so just straight dex.
That's a natural 20.
Oh, shit, that's a crit. Way to go. that's good stuff. Yeah, that it will certainly be effective. Cabbage kind of wriggles and expels some kind of fairy magic. And the tentacles loosen their grip, and she's able to kind of slink out. And she's now floating in the abyss on her own accord. That is to say, the directions are all scrambled in her head, and she does not know which way is up or down or left or right. But she can try and scoot through the darkness in a direction, if you would like to give her one.
Sure. Should just say down, I guess.
Sure. She will scoot down past the tentacles. We'll say that she slipped out that way, her relative down, and she will start moving. Moving through the abyss in this manner will provoke the abyssal effects, the mind magic. She will need to make an intelligence save, please.
Okay. Okay, that was a one.
Oh, that was
an unnatural one.
Oh, like it went down because of int. Right.
Yeah.
Dirty one, not as bad as a natural one, but still not great. Cabbage is feeling terrified. She can reattempt this at the start of her next turn, but after that movement, she is now immobile, and she would not be able to... She would attack blankly whatever is happening here at disadvantage, but tough to figure out what to attack anyways. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is just Cabbage RPLity. Wouldn't know any of this.
Right, yeah. This is... Everything is happening there.
Yes.
Okay, cool. We gave it a whirl.
Yes.
All right.
It's some progress, for sure.
Yes, in progress. With Key Lime, would Key Lime be able to reach Malamar for a Spirit Blade?
Not easily. It would be a challenge. A wall has been constructed, and there are a whole bunch of mons charging. So it would be at least two different ability checks, probably an athletics and an acrobatics, and then the chance to hit by rolling to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it is very hard.
Yeah.
And I think your movement, what's 30 feet of movement, right?
Probably. Let me double check. It's 35.
It's still not quite enough to reach. Like if you went around, like if you went south of the trees and then like up and around, you wouldn't quite reach with a melee attack.
Okay. So the last move Dragonite used was Iron Head.
Correct.
The last move, Trevor put up the wall, right?
Yes.
Because I do have Mimic, so I could potentially make a ranged attack with Mimic.
Does Mimic take a but turn to absorb, or does it proc automatically like Copycat?
Oh, right. Good question. It doesn't say. As an action, this move is temporarily replaced by the target's most recently used move in the encounter.
Yes. So I would describe that as you use the action to pick it up like you do in the games.
Gotcha.
And then you have it.
So yeah, it's pretty much... Because the only other move I have that's damaging is Psychic, and obviously it's a dark type, so that will not work.
Yeah.
Schmidt is out now.
Yeah, he's just, he's in a funny position where he's like between the hostile monsters.
Right.
Just kind of on the hill.
I'm just wondering, relinquish control of Walter back to him.
You can. I think something to consider here in this sharing mons kind of thing is just to remember your action economy, right?
Because
you could give Walter back, but that isn't to say that Schmidt's going to like use Walter on his turn.
That's fair.
But you're welcome to do that. I'm not going to say that relinquishing control costs an action. I think Schmidt is just better at commanding Walter, and if he wants to give a command to Walter as an action, he's welcome to do that. But you can also still give commands to Walter. It's just maybe less effective.
Okay. Right. And I think Walter probably would have a harder time getting to Malamar than even Key Lime.
It could go under.
Oh, that's true. He could go under. Let's try that.
Okay.
So can Walter drill underneath to go up to where Malamar is?
Yeah, I'm calculating. Yeah, I think that'll be just enough. If he gives a good leap from underground, he should be able to go down 5 feet. Under the wall, under the monsters, and then pop up and be able to strike Malamar with something. So, yeah, he can consume his burrowing movement to drill a hole under the ground, go under the wall, go under the monsters, and then pop out. What is he going to attack with?
Let's use Hyperdrill.
Epic. Whatever the roll to hit is for Hyperdrill, please reduce it by 2.
Well, okay. So that's a 10.
Okay. Wouldn't have hit anyways, but go on.
Does rage effect roll to hit? No, right? It's just damage. Yeah, it's just damage. Okay.
Just damage.
Just 10.
Okay. pretty sick maneuver regardless. Walter uses his serpentine drill tail to drill under the ground and appear near Malamar, and then swings the drill into the air to try and strike the monster. But unfortunately, the attack goes wide and does not find purchase in the goopy body of this monster, this being. But that being said, Walter's in a pretty prime position to get some more damage in.
Cool. Do I have another action?
I think you do. Lot going on for Elodie. Okay. Yeah. Keep it rocking. One more action. What are you doing?
I think I really need to just try and get Cabbage back. I think we are going to go for it. I think I'm going to see if I can try and get Key Lime over there.
Okay, cool. So what's your method, actually? What are you thinking? Like, you're going to scale the wall? You're going to bash through it? What is the strategy here?
I think I'd prefer scaling it.
Okay.
To bashing through it. Okay. No, I don't really do that. Because then it gets another turn off. I was going to say, can I, like, hold my action and then, like, one of the flying mons can come pick her up? But I don't want it to get an action off before I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think scaling it.
Okay. So it's so that will consume 10 feet of movement to climb the wall and 5 feet to get there. But you're probably going to do a jump attack anyway, so the movement count doesn't super matter. Mm-hmm. Athletics, Keelan's probably proficient, right?
Not in athletics, no.
What
does her strength have? Is really good. Just insight and arcana.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. Just give me a DC 12 athletics check.
You'll be fine. A natural 20.
Let's go. That's a crit. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's crazy. Just seemingly, like, not even using her hands, Key Lime will approach the wall and just run up it vertically and then get to the top of it. Pretty sick. Now, assuming you want to attack and assuming with Spirit Blade, I will need Key Lime to make an acrobatics check to do the jump.
Okay.
I will also make this one DC 12.
Nice. 18.
18, yeah. In a super epic anime maneuver, Key Lime climbs to the top of the wall and then jumps and pulling out their pink saber goes to strike this monster. Roll to hit, please.
Okay, cool. 23.
23 does, in fact, hit. Please roll your crazy damage on this mon.
So, I guess, to be fair, does Misty Terrain count here because we're not grounded?
You're in the air. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we only double the damage or the damage bonus once.
Yeah, which is fine.
Because I did call mine.
Yeah.
Which is still great. Yeah. And it is super effective, so I still double the dice.
Sure.
That'll be 47.
Ooh, that is so sick. Before I describe it, I would like Key Lime to make one more dex check to land carefully, because this is a tricky scenario, and jumped like 40 or so feet to make this attack happen.
Mm-hmm. This is... What was this again? Acrobatics or athletics?
Either, actually. Your choice.
Okay, then that's an 11.
I was looking for a 12.
Oh, no.
So Key Lime does successfully get the attack off, and it's pretty sick and epic and cool, but Key Lime will not stick the landing because of the slanted surface and will fall on the ground prone. Additionally, roll 1d6.
My prone damage. Oh, 5.
Five, not too bad, but will take 5 points of falling damage as Key Lime collides with the ground. Health. Because of the speed and velocity of Key Lime's super cool epic attack and the crit that they got on the athletics check, they will naturally just avoid the ooze damage, so you will not need to make that roll.
Cool.
So Key Lime is going to be prone on the ground in front of the monster. The monster has taken a significant amount of damage. It has reached a threshold where it has stopped moving, and its black body has begun to glow red, and its tentacles writhe all over the place. You all, just to save you wasting time making rolls, you all get the impression that this thing is in its, like, unconscious or death throes, and it is probably going to explode. So be prepared that at some point, unless you can deal a significant amount of damage in a short amount of time, it may in fact explode. Who knows what that means, but it will do it. Anything else for your turn?
Nope, that will be all.
Okay. Cabbage, while inside the monster, will feel like a bubbling kind of churning and like a roaring as her environment gets hot and like viscous. The allies' turns. We have Steven and Archie and Maxie engaged in combat. Sharpedo What will Sharpedo do? Sharpedo's gonna go north, like into the water, just to kind of get that vantage point. Just gonna dash, just gonna be in the sea, just for convenience sake. And then Camerupt, not very fast, but will start lumbering like in front of the wall and like preparing a big attack from its humps for when the monsters do eventually breach. Metagross is going to fly in the air towards the monster and enter close to melee range, 5 feet away, cannot actually make an attack, but it's preparing for whatever this explosion situation is going to be. So they're all just gaining position here. Instead of one person rolling a d20, can everyone roll me a d4, please?
Oh, cool.
4.
Okay.
2.
Okay.
4.
Great.
2.
Excellent. Oh, this conversion, I can make it happen. Just give me a second. Looking at tables and thinking. A new ally joins the fray. Delaney marches up alongside her Gothitelle, ready to hopefully help against this horde of monsters. And running up alongside her, behind her, is Brandon, the cop. And he is now joined by none other than a Rocky Magcargo, ready for action. Additionally, not related to the role at all, but who else is joining the fray? It is none other than Tiberius Matthias Ferrishart. He is joined by, he's flown in alongside a Corva Knight who is ready for battle. And Jim Lee, who I think was here prior but hasn't really been doing much, sends out his golem and is ready to encounter these creatures. So we have a few more allies now. I guess Elodie, roll a perception.
No problem. 23.
Great. You get the feeling that Brandon definitely like recognizes you and knows you're here, but like does not make eye contact.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Okay.
And before the bad guys go, you all hear a clap of thunder. The bad guys will now go. More and more people and Pokemon are storming out of the blimps. And the one that took the Trubbish explosion, it sends out like a few more people and Pokemon to deal with stuff on the ground. But it seems that it retracts the ladder and begins to close the bay door. It seems it's kind of done with whatever it's trying to do, whether it's been beat up too much or it's just simply like expelled all of its personnel. Then that's what's happening. The other two blimps have lots of people pouring out, people in Pokemon. And one of them also produces a beam from a strange looking cannon on the front of its face, the front of its body, and will fire it at Larvastar. Larvastar, please make a dexterity save of 18.
Oh, no.
19.
19, nice. Larvastar is able to dodge out of the way as a pink beam is fired from a, not like a cannon, but like a, I guess like a laser. I don't know how to describe it. Like a turret. That's the word. Fired from a turret that extends out of one of the blimps. And Larvastar nimbly dodges out of the way. And it goes off, like way off in the distance into the ocean. And there's an explosion. It goes just in the water. That is to the west of Mos Deep City. Notably, there are people charging in through the front of the Space Center. Lots of grunts and like some slower moving, seemingly important people. One of those which you recognize is certainly Rada and his Aggron. They are iconic. You cannot not see them. Additionally, folks are storming in the restricted area where the shuttle launch is, and like things are happening. Things are being equipped to the shuttle and the rockets are being toyed with in a way. You'd have to take a good look, one of you, to see exactly what's going on, but they're doing things to the rocket. And you can tell that the lights are being turned on, that there is activity in the Space Center that is certainly happening. The Malamar monster that is close to exploding wasn't necessarily planning on making an action here, but it did flinch. It had additional legendary resistances, but it doesn't really matter because it simply has one goal. It's going to, it's now going to move just a little bit closer to the Space Center, not necessarily melee range, but it's going to just stay there and just glow kind of evil dark red as its tentacled tendrils all like squirm and writhe in the air, not necessarily attacking anything, but it is seemingly going to detonate unless it is stopped. And oh yeah, the horde, I have to describe them. So they connect with the wall. Some of the monsters, like the big horse I described, is going to try to just plow through it. It's going to require a 20 to get that, which it does not get. So they're going to start damaging as much as they can. Some flying Pokemon, like there's a large dragonfly Pokemon, it's going to try and fly over the wall. It will do so successfully uninhibited, but that will prevent it from reaching the party for one more turn. So the large dragonfly, there's a draconic looking Pokemon with wings and is fine. Additional monsters. There's one that levitates that looks like it's a like some sort of made of clay. You've seen it before. It's a clay doll. You fought it in the Moss Deep Gym Challenge. Various monsters will start to fly over, and other ones will try to smash through the wall. Try and deal some damage. I'll run that calc as Cindy's going because it's going to be a lot of dice rolling, and I can multitask that better at that time. Am I forgetting to describe anyone? Cindy, you relocated to be closer to the blimp that fired the laser, right?
No, the one that I burned the other one. Rope with Sally.
Yes, perfect. Yes. Regardless, you're closer to another blimp. I'll have you make another perception check, please.
Okay. I think I have a plan regardless of the perception check, but I guess we'll see.
Okay.
My perception is plus one. 11.
11, cool. The check has gotten easier because this is the second time I've exposed you to it, so you have succeeded. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, that as you approach this blimp, that there is like some sort of message being conveyed over a loudspeaker or megaphone or some sort of amplification. You can't fully make out the message, but you know, without a doubt, that it is the voice of Symmetra. I will have you follow up and make an insight on that. I will also make this DC 11.
My insight was a 19.
Very good. You can't make out the words, and you know it's her voice, and you haven't spoken with her in a while, perhaps, but there's just an element to it that just seems uncanny. Like, there's a relief knowing that she's okay, and you hear her voice, it's like, oh, that's Sam. There's something strange about it. There's something off about it, and you can't quite pin it down. It's almost like it's not her voice, but it is her voice, but she's not the one saying the words.
Oh, okay. So maybe she's not evil, guys. She's just possessed.
Opium.
Cindy, it is your turn. That was the end of the baddie's turn.
Fabulous. It's hard to go to space without a rocket.
Mm-hmm.
So. we're going to focus our attention on the rocket.
Okay, great. What is your
goal? I'm going to have Fang and Larvastar. I don't know how much movement Fang needs to do. I don't think it's as much from where the blimp was, but Larvastar might be. I want to be close enough to the rocket, but not like so close that if it blows up, we're blown up with it.
Okay. So just within attacking range?
Yes.
What, before you'd roll anything, what is your intention for damage here?
Fire.
Okay. Cindy is 15 years old. She didn't go to school, right?
Presumably not, but she is a Hoenian.
Yeah,
Hoenian. So might have visited the space center before and got like a little space center tour as like a child.
Okay, I've been giving you a lot of rolls, and I'm going to give you another free one. I want a DC 12 intelligence check before you commit to this attack.
That's a 9.
It's a 9. Go ahead and make your attack.
Fabulous. It's either gonna go really well or really not. Oh, rockets are like designed to like not get as damaged so easily.
If it were impossible, I would have you not do it.
All right, I am going to have Fang and Larvastar get closer.
Okay,
but I think I'm actually gonna send out Cookie.
Oh, great.
Can Cookie fit on Salamence with me?
Potentially, Cookie is quite heavy.
I can sit in Cookie's lap.
I think that's fine. I think Fang actually needs to make an athletics check of 14 or higher, or else he's gonna have to either be immobile or drop someone.
Okay, what is it? What's the check?
14 athletics.
Is that based on
strength?
Strength. That is a dirty 20.
Okay, at this time, Fang is able to carry both Cindy and Cookie without issue.
Okay. So I'm not directly, let me clarify, I'm not directly over top of the rocket. I'm maybe 20 to 30 feet to the north of it, like kind of over the water.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
I'm just trying to like put myself somewhere because I'm about to drop a magma storm on the rocket.
Great.
Because the rocket can't move and it's just going to get pelted.
That is true. You're just targeting like the top of the shuttle, basically. Probably going to hit the boosters as well.
Aiming for the boosters because that's where the rocket fuel is, but like, you know, rocket, hit rocket.
Sure. Okay. I suppose you will be hitting, so roll damage.
29 damage.
Okay. While I'm not going to describe it as a strict immunity, spacefaring parts and machinery are designed to be incredibly heat resistant because of the intense atmospheric pressures that they experience upon entry and exiting of the atmosphere. They experience fires that are far greater than even magma. So while I will not say that you are not doing damage, it seems to have little to no effect. More than zero, we will say. But if you seriously want to damage this vessel with fire, it will take a lot of effort.
Okay. Fair. It will, while Cookie is able to maintain concentration, it will continue to take 16 damage.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, if it's resisted or whatever, however you need to do that.
No, yeah, it maps out differently.
16 is the... Yeah.
If you reactivate it. No, it just happens passively. Right.
It, as long as I maintain...
Concentration
up to a minute.
Okay. Very good. That is happening. There's a magma storm that is centered at the rocket.
And I think that's my whole turn because I sent out Cookie and did that at the same time.
Like, yes, that is correct. So you got a lot of Mons out. So Cookie and Cindy are riding Fane, this Alamance. Larvastar, the Volcarona, is flying around. And is Soli's away, huh?
Soli's away, yep.
Okay.
Soli's with me.
Very good. That's Cindy's turn. Gimli, you no longer have to commit your turn to grappling and head smashing Semele. So what will you do?
God, what do I do now?
Yeah. Your wall was a great success. The Pokemon are trying to damage it. Certainly haven't taken enough health to fully break through. They probably will break portions of it on their next turn, but it's totally succeeded in stopping them this turn, which is cool. Nice.
Yeah, they're going to have to spend some time breaking that down, but do anything to make that better, because that's kind of my job now. Everyone else is destroying everything. Well, mostly Melissa's destroying everything, which we're fine with. We like Cindy just blowing things up. Let's see. I guess I could take the opportunity to get other Mons in the action here.
Because you just have Trevor, right?
Right, yeah, because there was no time to do anything else, and I was sort of wrestling somebody.
Sure.
Headbutting them, so kind of hard to bring a Pokemon out to, but I think we have time now. Who do we bring out? Oh, did we ever get text for Trick Room?
Did you learn Trick Room?
Yeah. On,
oh, shit.
I did a TM for Trick Room on Bud.
I must have missed that. Just when you use it, it just reverses the turn order for four rounds.
Okay, I gotcha.
It's kind of nothing, but also kind of not. Like, you could be cheeky with it, but depending on where you are initiative, it's kind of nothing, so I don't know.
Yeah, it all depends. It's mostly to give, like, a turn reset, like, if I wanted to double up the person before.
Yeah, if you're in a good place in initiative, you could basically get two turns in a row, which could make a big difference.
Right. That could be huge, yeah. We'll definitely bring out Lasagna, because I need to start preparing defensive layers to keep these Mons out.
Cool. Lasagna, the Hoenn Ruby Crustle, can enter the field.
Yeah, very cool. So that's Gimli action. Trevor is going to, I guess I couldn't really multi-sand tomb, right? Like behind the wall, just to like keep slowing down like whoever is behind it. I don't think that's a viable thing for me because it is single target.
Right. We can work on flavoring it a certain way if you want to make it happen. But it would be on this side of the wall, sure. On the opposite side, it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird. is Rata's Aggron nearby somewhere?
It's about 120 feet from you.
Okay, that's a bit of a waste.
You can only see it because you're used to how monstrous it is, and it feels like it's only getting bigger.
Yeah, right. It's just growing larger. Okay. Yeah, so I'm basically dealing with the wall right now, so let's... And they haven't damaged the wall yet at all? They just like got to and are attempting to?
A few Pokemon have damaged it, and then like half of them have started hitting it, and half of them have decided to go around or over.
Okay. So they're all like in front of the wall, essentially, then.
Either on top or right on it, correct.
Okay. I'm going to really mess with them. We're going to do the same layer, just a stack on top. So as they start to climb it, they get knocked off of the wall.
Yeah.
So they have to fall back down.
Okay. Sure. So just the same 40 HP to make it 10 feet taller?
Yes.
Okay. You may certainly do that. Yeah. And any Pokemon that were attempting to fly over now have to consume more movement if they want to fly higher. And not ideal for them at all. It is done. No other way to describe it, really. Good stuff.
No. Okay, we're just keeping it under control.
Okay, as usual. Just out of curiosity, what's Trevor's HP looking like?
27 out of 168, but I am healing 16 this turn from Leftovers.
Nice. So. Leftovers is awesome for this mod, for sure.
The value is crazy, yeah.
It's excessive. Anything else for Gimli?
No, that is it.
Okay. Schmidt, are you with us?
I am.
Please make a DC 14 intelligence save against your terror.
That's another five.
Okay. Things for Schmidt specifically are not great. He's feeling gross and bad, but he can still give commands and do stuff. He can still move. He just, certain things that Schmidt specifically does might be less effective.
Okay. Well, we were revving this sky attack.
Well, sorry, Schmidt actually can't move towards the monster. Sorry, but I don't think he wants to move towards it anyways.
Okay.
Quacko
can. He kind of did, because he kind of needs to get Cabbage the fuck out of there.
Mm.
But we've got a sky attack queued up.
Yeah, Quacko can do it, right? So, yeah, I guess let her rip that sky attack. First time using it, pretty fun. You can reduce that PP and roll to hit.
Yes. That is a dirty 26 to hit.
That will, in fact, hit. You may roll damage.
47 points of flying type damage.
Super good hit. Excellent. That's like a spirit blade, basically. And where do you want to position Quacko? He gets to move 80 feet for free. Which side of the monster does he want to be on?
We don't know where Cabbage is in the creature, right?
Correct. Or
if we could even... Because I would like to position Quacko through the creature and then attempt to grab Cabbage if we could, but we don't know where it is.
Yeah, not sure where Cabbage is. But if you want to go on the other side of the creature, you can do that. If you want to, are you suggesting that you want Sky Attack to like pierce its body?
Yeah, like blast through it.
Sure, let's do that. And then I feel like a D100 is excessive. Give me two D20s just to see like the location and how things shake out.
20 and 15.
Okay. Yeah, you pierce this monster kind of in its like chest in the central part of the kind of triangular squid body, and a hole appears from Quacko's dash. Quacko like glows like red and white, and it gets like its Super Saiyan Dragon Ball Z streaks, and then Quacko just charges like a bullet through the air 80 feet through the body of the monster, and it creates a solid circle hole where Quacko charges through, dealing awesome damage, by the way. And just in like the bottom corner of the hole, you see a little swirled tip of what is Cabbage's head of its whipped cream body right as the hole recloses up. So you understand that Cabbage is roughly in the center of this monster.
Bet. Okay.
Also, and the monster begins to like tremble and like writhe more, but it doesn't explode and it doesn't not explode.
Okay. I guess we just Ironhead the monster again.
Sure. Walter's also just in range too.
Reminding me, if we're still hitting it, we're basically like just giving it death saves. How does that mechanic work? Or is
this
it
is a unique
different?
Mechanic I haven't done yet. So maybe I'll describe it after the session. I was inspired by a Baldur's Gate enemy that does this. So.
Okay.
So this I
guess I'll just keep ironheading.
Perhaps. Elodie, perhaps.
I was going to say, this sounds like a steel watcher.
Yeah. Not literally, but the mechanic.
Right.
Okay. So mechanically, would it be beneficial to me to keep hitting the thing?
Potentially. It's just that you, what's cool about the mechanic from Baldur's Gate, at least, is that you like want to damage it, but it's tanky and strong. And like, if you don't eliminate it, it will just blast you and all your guys. That's essentially what's happening here, is that like you're gambling. Like, can you deal enough damage to get rid of it, or like, you know, risk taking a bunch of damage as a result? That is your decision to make.
Well, I think we're locked in melee anyways. So we're going to get blown the fuck up anyways.
Sure.
I have Pride next to me and I have Walter next to me now too, right?
Yeah, Walter is there. Yeah.
Okay. I think I want to withdraw Pride for this turn. And that would be my only other action, right? Quacko took an action, I withdrew.
Yes, that would be it.
Okay. I'll evasive stance the explosion if I can.
Okay, perfect. I mean, you can just target that monster, and if it attacks you with anything, you can get that. So that's good. Schmidt, bonus free perception check, please. Bonus I'm looking for a 12 or higher.
You're not going to get it.
What did you get just for fun?
I got a 2 on the die.
Okay, that's quite low. Schmidt isn't sure what's going on, specifically with this roll. Cool.
Never
Anything else for Schmidt?
No, we're good.
Okay. Elodie, it's you.
Oh.
Long rounds. Appreciate your patience. What are you going to do?
Cabbage being inside it, is there a possibility for her to try to swim out again?
Yeah, she can let it rip. She needs to remake her intelligence save, though, because she is currently terrified.
Okay.
14? Yeah, 14.
It'll be tough, but I believe.
It's a hard roll. This is a really scary situation.
Okay. That's a 4.
Okay. Cabbage is terrified. And additionally, this is her second turn in a row. She will be bombarded with sinister and evil and malicious thoughts and images and just bombarding her senses. And she will actually take some damage. Not an incredible amount, but 36 points of typeless damage. Sorry?
All right. All right. Okay.
And she's still currently immobile, terrified, stuck in the body of some monster that is growing hotter.
I think we have to kill this guy.
Who's your sidekick as you say that?
Damn, that's crazy.
It's Elodie and Snoopy or something.
Snoopy?
I don't know, like, you know, that meme where it's like two random characters.
Right, I know, but why Snoopy?
It's the first thing that came to mind. I don't know. What do you think?
I would like it to be Cabbage, but she's not by me right now.
Yeah. Snake from Metal Gear Solid. I don't know.
Somebody draw that.
Very much an Isabelle and Doom guy scenario.
And of course, yeah, Elodie saying that, and then the other characters is like, damn. They're like, oh shit.
Exactly. Yeah, it's Elodie saying that.
Yeah. Perfect. That's awesome.
Okay. So getting up from prone takes half of Key Lime's movement, right?
Or an action. Your choice.
With getting up, would she still be able to jump to reach in order to attack?
Yeah, Keelam could do it from the ground, actually. It's only 5 or 10 feet off the ground, and Keelam has a sword,
Okay.
No need to jump.
Okay, cool. Perfect. And I'm still on the ground, then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we will do that. We'll let that rip.
Okay. Roll that Spirit Blade.
Natural 20. What's going on?
Holy shit.
What's going on? I think it's this dice. This dice is just hot tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it's super effective, right? Mm-hmm. So for a crit, we do just the full damage. Is that without it being super effective, or
no,
is
that is
with
it? That's why this mechanic is so strong.
So that's
a lot of damage.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that's a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, let me do the roll, and then I'll add the flat damage on top. Not
this might
bad
be the biggest hit we've seen even. So far. I feel like this is going to be huge.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
If you break
okay
triple digits before me, I'm going to be mad.
It might. It's a huge hit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's triple digits.
Ooh.
Fuck.
So that's just for the math people at home. So it's the base damage of Spirit Blade is 3d10 plus 9. So doubled is 6d10. So that's 60 flat damage, and then the total that I rolled was, I believe, 36.
Mm-hmm.
So then also the damage bonus is plus 9, which is doubled because of Calm Mind, and then doubled again because of Misty Terrain, so that's 132.
Hell yeah. That's so sick. Key Lime rights themselves up, stands on the ground, swings their sword for a critical hit into this monster. It leaves like a trail of a pixie-like pink glow as it slices, and then it like explodes afterwards in the classic Monster Hunter longsword kind of thing, you know, like the and little pink explosions and slices cover the body of the creature. It lets out a blood-curdling screech that seems to silence the whole island, and it begins to drip into a puddle of darkness. A couple things of note. It gradually becomes a puddle. It will be fully become a puddle at the end of its turn, but you do see two creatures emerging from the puddle. One is a still terrified Cabbage for now, and also the body of a regular ass Malamar is beginning to form. Also, the results of Schmidt's failed perception check. A very strange looking figure in like a gray cloak that covers its body, is standing on the western side of the space center, pretty close by. Elodie, you can give it a shot at this perception check if you wish.
Heck yeah, I'd love to. 19?
19 is incredible. You can't fully distinguish what is in like behind this cloak, but you're pretty confident that it's not a human, or if it is, they look like really, really strange. They are wearing strange, like, pointed blue shoes, and they have large white hands that appear to be gloved. And they are standing cloaked at the side of the space center, staring at this pile of goop. They have an intention of some sort, and that is not something that you are able to distinguish.
What is Mr. Rhyme doing here?
Any other notes for Elodie's turn? You have more stuff to do, right?
Yeah, I think that was only one action.
Yeah, keep going.
crazy. Okay. Oh gosh. Okay. So this was like my one thing that I was like, I'm gonna do, and now that I've done, I'm gonna recall Cabbage.
Okay. Cabbage is in a goop. So you will have to make the dex check. And also you're pretty far. So yes. I'm looking for just a DC 12 dex.
11.
Oof. You know what? I'll give you a little treat as a flavor. You hit your laser like straight on for this, for to recall Cabbage, who is like motionless in this puddle. But it seems to be like deflected. Like the moment it connects with Cabbage, bing, it like goes off, just goes stray in the distance. But you don't see any object there.
What the heck?
Any bonus actions for Elodie?
I just realized I probably should have done this, or at least tried to do this first. I guess I don't know if this would even work. Oh, I get it. Oh, come on. Ugh. I guess I could still try this. This could still work. Can Cabbage Misty Step away, or is she just too gooped out?
She's pretty gooped out. At least, yeah, why not? I'll let you try and remake the Terrified save. It will expire at the end of the baddie's turn, but if you can get rid of it, then that will give you more opportunities to do other things. So it'll be DC 13 int on this turn. It's decreasing 13.
Yeah, no, failure.
Okay. She's still all gooped up. Anything else for Elodie?
So did that take up my bonus action then?
No. The save? No, it didn't.
Okay. I probably don't have much in the way of bonus actions. Anyway, it's really just party times. And I guess I have movement as well, but there's a lot of stuff in my way from myself moving over there.
Mm.
I will give Cabbage herself a party time.
Okay, great. Do you have any flavor for it?
I'm just like yelling over everything to Cabbage, like, get up, you've got this, even though you're all gooped up. You love the goop. You were born in the goop.
Hell yeah. At one point in her life, most of her life, Cabbage was in fact goopy.
She was. She knows the goop.
That's incredible.
And then that one be my...
Okay. Gonna do a classic Dunsparce and Drampa, ask for ambiguous, scary perception checks. One from Elodie, one from Cindy, actually.
Okay.
Perception?
Yes.
From me,
11.
Memorize these numbers. 12?
Okay. Above average, but not super great. Cindy, you don't specifically see any colors or nuance to it, but you know the Atlas Stone is kind of popping off right now. Things are going on with it. You can tell just from your bag, like, it is flashing at least two different colors, but you can't fully discern what's going on with it. Elodie, you see probably about 15 or 20 feet behind you. Walking in your direction at, like, kind of a relatively hurried pace is the strange figure who you've seen a couple of times during energy-related events. They're the person that got you in the portal, that got you into Sylph Co. that first time. And you saw them at Dewford, and they gave you a wave when you saw them, and they are approaching you from behind.
Answers. Finally!
But that is Elodie's turn. Let's do the allies first. There are so many, I'm kind of cursing myself for this, but it's a late-game fight, so it's fine. Archie, Sharpedo is going to fire a watery blast in the line, specifically a hydro pump, in the line of all of the monsters that are caught behind the wall. Certainly the monsters at the front of the line are going to take the most damage, and then the ones in the back won't experience anything, but I'm going to roll a few saves. And yeah, the first three monsters in the line will get blasted, and they will be knocked prone, and then the full first six of them are going to take a pretty hefty amount of water damage. Camerupt will... It's probably just going to position itself more to the center of the wall. It's slow moving, so Maxi will command camera up to do that. Steven's Metagross is going to hover over. It's going to plop down on its legs, probably like right next to Malamar, and just like give it a good old investigation. Make sure that if it pops back up for any reason, it can smack it. Because again, a regular looking squid Malamar is appearing in this puddle of goop. Delaney is going to approach the monsters that are all piled up against the wall from the south. And Gothitelle will issue a psychic at the first monster. It does not succeed. Brandon's Macargo is going to let loose a flamethrower and target the first. That's really slow. It's only going to be able to capture two monsters in there, but it's going to give it a whirl. One of them is super effective against it. Actually, Brendan's Macargo manages to fully knock out a victory bell in one hit. That is fantastic. It's right before it faints, if anyone was paying attention, which I'm not sure anyone besides Elodie maybe could see. Its kind of visage changes from like being really like evil and sinister and angry eyebrows, and it becomes like neutral for a second, and then it falls unconscious. TMF and Corviknight are actually going to relocate themselves over towards the front doors where they saw Rada and Aggron enter. They're going to dash. They're going to consume all their movement to fly through the sky to land among all of the energy operatives. Gimli's golem is going to fire off a rock blast at the baddies, the horde of baddies behind the wall, because he has the southern positioning, dealing a good amount of damage. That's all the allies. Okay. Thanks to the efforts of Schmidt and Key Lime the Iron Valiant, this bomb, so to speak, was defused before it could explode. So in a pile of black ichor is just the Malamar, Semele's Malamar, just laying on the ground, and Cabbage. The strange cloaked figure who just doesn't seem like a human steps forward and moves towards the terrified Cabbage. Its walks are a little uncanny, and it pulls off its hood, and you recognize a scarred kind of beat up, but all of you can see from this distance, a vaguely familiar Mr. Mime. It's not a Mr. Mime from Mr. Mimosas. It seems like there's a sense of like maturity to it, that like this is perhaps a mime that you've known before. And it looks down at Cabbage and it places its hands like around Cabbage's sides, but like a foot to her left and to her right, and lifts its hands up and picks up Cabbage in an invisible box and examines Cabbage very carefully. And there's another thunderclap in the distance. And the moment that this mime creature picks up Cabbage, you hear over a loudspeaker from the Space Center, 10. And that is where we will end the session. Hello, and thank you so much for listening to episode 100 of Dunsparce and Drampa. Myself and the players can't believe we made it this far, and we are so grateful to you for listening, and as well to all of our patrons who make this show possible. We got so many new patrons over the winter holiday, and I'd like to spend some time shouting them out. I would like to thank you, Wade, Will, Lou, Origami Eevee, Jose Alvarez, Jazzatron ASMR, Sean Emerson, Maggie Tuna 1999, Bullet Roll, Cerulich 27, and Kiba Ishumaki. We will see you for episode 101 on January 21st.